Hi there, I'm Pia Chattopadhyay.
We have to be ready. You, me, the others. There's an attack coming from far away.
Not coming, Bruce. It's already here.
So that is from the 2017 movie Justice League, starring Ben Affleck as Batman and Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. Now, superhero movies usually break records at the box office, but this one fell way below expectations. Critics panned it, and so did a lot of DC Comics fans. They were unhappy with what happened to the movie in post-production, where director Zack Snyder had to step away from the project. That discontent unleashed a fan movement called hashtag Release the Snyder Cut. So this week, after years of campaigning, Snyder announced that his cut of Justice League would finally be released. And let me tell you, the reaction on social media was polarizing, to say the least. So today, we're digging into this whole saga and what it says about fandom today with two culture critics. Tina Hassania and John Semley are here with me. This is Front Burner. John and Tina, hi you two.
Hi, hello. Pia.
Okay, I think the best place to start is frankly the beginning. So, John, let me start with you. With the original Justice League film, which came out in 2017, you have seen this movie. So, in a nutshell, 30 seconds or so, review it for me.
Wow. Okay. So I watched this movie in a basement cinema in a matinee in one of the darkest periods of my life. And let's just say it did not lift my spirits. It is a sort of superhero crossover event movie in the style of the Avengers, but with DC Comics superheroes. So you got Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, The Flash, Aquaman, all your favorites, etc. And they're all teaming up to stop some sort of extraterrestrial interdimensional threat. That is the plot, Precy, such as it is.
Okay, it seems simple. I mean, I have so many questions about you being in a basement of a movie hall in the darkest periods of your life, but I will not go there because that's not what we're here to talk about. I'm sorry you were going through a dark period at that time, however. You weren't the only one who panned it, right? Critics panned it, and it didn't do well. Like, audiences basically hated this movie. It didn't do well at the box office. But then there's this other group of the audience. These are like hardcore DC comic fans. They really didn't like it, John. Specifically, what did they not like about it?
So the original director attached to it was this fellow Zack Snyder, who's a kind of meathead, gym rat, action cinema director. And he was sort of the architect behind the style and tone of the what they call the DC Universe, because he directed Man of Steel and then Batman versus Superman. And he had to leave the project because of personal reasons, and they brought another director, Joss Whedon, who actually directed the Avengers films, but whose tone could not be more different than Zack Snyder's, I feel, to sort of finish the film. So that sort of created this sense that there was a lost Snyder cut of the film that many of these hardcore Zack Snyder fans wanted released. It was almost a kind of mythical object that was A, presumed to exist, and then B, presumed to be better than the theatrical version.
So a big part of the complaint, as I understand it, is that this film was not Snyder-like enough. Whatever that means. Tina, explain what that means. Like, what is Zack Snyder known for? What does Snyder-like mean?
If you've ever seen 300, I feel like that's that was the movie that basically catapulted his career. And the reason for that is because he likes to adapt these comic books that are kind of gory, kind of dark. There's usually a lot of violence, a lot of like action sequences. And with 300, he did a really good job. I mean, that movie took off.
This is blasphemy. This is madness.
Madness. This is Sparta!
He sort of set this precedent for creating these dark, action-heavy films, super serious, you know? And then he was able to take over DCEU, DC Extended Universe.
Okay, so Snyder has, you just laid it out there, Tina. I mean, he has a certain, he's known for certain things, and people are very fond of it. So that says to me, John, that he probably has a diehard fan base too. Like, what are Zack Snyder fans like?
Well, as Tina mentioned, I mean, the violence, the gruesomeness is certainly a big element of his filmmaking and something that people find appealing. The aestheticization of violence, very slow-mo, bones cracking, blood, sort of like you imagine the boxing scenes from Martin Scorsese's Raging Bull, but with Batman and Superman punching each other. That's sort of the aesthetic of a Zack Snyder film. Also, no trace of irony whatsoever, right? I mean, one of the things that his movies are criticized for, Watchmen, for example, is not understanding the subtext of the source that he's adapting at all. And I think his fans are very much, I mean, look, I hesitate to paint fan bases with too broad a brush. I'm sure that there are some very sensitive Zack Snyder fans. I myself find his films interesting, if not at all entertaining. But I think that there is this sort of level of almost macho aggressiveness that feeds very easily into what's sometimes called toxic fandom these days. These are people who probably wear, you know, bro, do you even lift t-shirts, even though I imagine they don't themselves lift.
Okay, as you say, John, a lot of people like Snyder films, but that is a large portion of his fan base. And then this, I don't know, is it fair to call it movement that develops around all this called hashtag release the Snyder cut? Tina, what is this movement? What does it get up to?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, this movie came out in 2017, and the campaign technically did start around there, but the actual campaign for the Snyder Cut didn't really take off until 2 years later.
Batman and Wonder Woman are joining forces again, in a way. Ben Affleck, Gal Gadot, and Zack Snyder are calling on Warner Brothers to release Snyder's version of 2017's Justice League. Gadot was the first big name to join the fan movement, posting a black and white behind the scenes photo from the movie with the hashtag release the Snyder cut.
And when that happened, this was November 2019, the internet, you know, it basically killed itself in that one day. It was insane how much passion people really brought to this campaign. I mean, it's kind of crazy some of the things that they did.
Like?
Well, I'm going to read a description from a website that was started by a fan. It's called forsnydercut.com, just to give you a sense of how verbose and passionate people can be about these things. For Snyder Cut's mission is to share what we love about the vision we've seen and bring to light the vision on Justice League that we didn't see. Our goal is to see the time, care, deliberation, preparation, artistry, and intentions that went into principal photography. Anyways, I'm not going to read the whole thing. The point is that these people really, really, really just get so passionate about this supposed, you know, better version of the movie. There was a funding for a billboard and a bus stop ad during the San Diego Comic-Con, flyers, digital billboards at Times Square during the New York City Comic-Con. They actually raised a ton of money, like over 30 grand for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. So I want to just say, like, in the midst of all of this, like, fan toxicity, which we'll get to, like, in terms of what they did, there were some actual good things that came out of it. At the same time, they started getting extremely paranoid and jealous and just extremely defensive anytime anyone said anything negative about Justice League or Snyder. They also troll Warner Brothers accounts as well. So, like, on any social media platform, on any Warner Brothers account, whether it's related to DC or not, it doesn't matter. They're demanding for the release of the Snyder Cut. And this has been going on for many, many, many months.
John, we're talking about a movie, right? Like, this impassioned people so much to do the things that Tina just laid out there. It wasn't just, you know, an online petition. There were public demonstrations at a Warner Brothers studio in Burbank and Times Square ads and all of that. And then all the online trolling, as Tina just mentioned. And I don't mean to diminish trolling in any way, but how bad did it get? Like, were things pretty vile?
Yeah, I mean, these things, like I say, there's always people who, there are people who would genuinely be interested in seeing a Zack Snyder cut of this film, who like his films and have good reasons for liking his films. Again, Zack Snyder is the kind of director who I would personally read a book about, although I don't really take much pleasure out of his films, if that makes sense. But there's always people on the other side. There's always sort of fans who are I don't even want to use the word passionate, or the word toxic comes up a lot, right? I mean, the idea that they're essentially harassing people, the idea that they have this delusion that they have ownership over this thing that they're just fans of. And it does take this kind of odd political dimension where people are almost using like political tactics to try to leverage their perceived power for something that they want. But I guess the recent news that this is coming out is proof that those tactics can work.
So they got what they wanted, as you say, John. On Wednesday, the news comes out that the Snyder Cut is going to be released. Hooray! 2021 is when it's going to come out.
I can't believe it. I didn't think it was ever going to happen. I didn't think it was possible, but the Snyder Cut is being released. That's right. Release the Snyder Cut has worked. HBO Max.
I guess the interesting thing about this is that this is not the first time that a fan campaign to get a movie made or a TV show to return has worked. And John, I know this area of, you know, of the world interests you a lot. How much of a precedence is there for this? That if you, you know, scream loud enough and get enough people out, you get your movie made, the movie made or the TV show back?
Yeah, well, the biggest historical precedent would be the original Star Trek, which was canceled after two seasons. And then a fan letter writing campaign got the show renewed for a third season.
These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Now, the key there is that once it got into three seasons, it could go into syndication, which meant that Star Trek could nurture a fan base for decades. Movies came out. You know, whole other series, spinoffs and stuff like that. Star Trek is obviously a phenomenon because of that campaign. Now, the thing about that is those campaigns were undertaken with the creator of Star Trek, Gene Roddenberry, who wanted his show brought back. Now, I think what's happening here, first of all, I will say that thinking about it now, within Zack Snyder's films, there's a sort of recurring theme of a small, determined band of people coming together to overwhelm an opposing force that's much larger, which might sort of inspire his fan base to undertake these activities, I suppose. But also, frankly, I think that studios don't know what to do now because of the pandemic. So that the pressure from fans, the interest from Snyder himself, and the idea that, well, we've got all this footage laying around, we might as well spend $20 to $30 million to recut a four-hour version of a movie no one liked in the first place. I think that that is a kind of unique combination of forces. Do I think that, like, studios and everyone will all of a sudden just start capitulating to fans? No, I don't, because fans are ultimately powerless. They have the perception of their own power, but they don't actually have any leverage against these studios. So this is one of those exception that proves the rule type things, in my view.
I was going to say, this is it's kind of interesting because there's a great post on Medium by someone named J.M. Carter with the title, "Would releasing the Snyder Cut just be rewarding bad behavior?" Which I think is a really interesting question, because given just how toxic this fan base has been for the past several months, it is kind of strange to release it in the end. And I don't know really what that says, you know, on a larger scale about how studios are treating fans. I do think that at the end of the day, though, they don't really have as much power as we think. I think, you know, there's all these like behind the scenes machinations that we're just not really made aware of. It's quite likely that Snyder has been also championing for this cause on a much quieter level. I will say that, you know, despite all the toxicity, it's not like Snyder ever came out and you know, decried his fans for doing these things. He's been quite quiet, you know, and content to be so during this entire time.
And if I may say, to address two points there, first of all, this rewarding bad behavior stuff, there's something so coddling in that language that I find, I mean, all blockbusters reward bad behavior and poor taste of their fans who buy tickets to movies that are no good. The entire Hollywood system is built on rewarding people's bad behavior. As far as Snyder himself, I'm sure he was involved, but it's important to point out that, like, he didn't get kicked off this project for ineptitude or something like that. He stopped making Justice League because his daughter committed suicide and it was a personal tragedy for him, and he had this vision of this film, whatever you think about him and his movies, that he wanted to pull off on screen. So I can understand him wanting to do it, especially now. Now, at the end of the day, I think that the risk of being a cold-hearted pragmatist. The only thing that matters to Warner Brothers and these people is if this film will make money. Can we put $20 million into this and people will see it? They've probably calculated that now they can, because there's not a lot of other stuff in the pipe.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with you, John. And I do think that what's going to be a really interesting question is whether or not the new film is any good. Like, is it going to be everything
that's what I wanted to ask. Like, John, you said at the beginning, look, I've seen this thing, it's garbage, it's a tire fire, and now there's all this hope by other people that Zack Snyder's return is gonna, you know, put that tire fire out and turn this into something good. Do you think it's gonna be good?
I think it'll be a Zack Snyder movie, which is what some people like. Whether or not that's good or bad is a matter of taste. I actually find his films weirdly compelling because, as Tina mentioned, they're so serious and so gruesome and so violent that they almost become funny, like a different form of almost like superhero camp movies. And, you know, with Zack Snyder, I'm reminded of one of my favorite lines from the film The Big Lebowski. To paraphrase it, it's, you know, say what you will, but at least it's an ethos. And that's how I feel about Zack Snyder. I mean, you can feel one way or the other about his films, but they're very much distinctly his. They may be these sort of weird power fantasies and fascistic parables, but that's his weird Ayn Rand worldview. And I find the fact that he has a worldview oddly refreshing, because I think a filmmaker like Joss Whedon, or most of the people who make these big blockbusters, have no view whatsoever, no perspective whatsoever. I'm curious to see it. Will I be conventionally entertained by it? I sincerely doubt it.
Given that there's so much ideology and mythology around this Zack Snyder cult, if you will, I think a lot of fans will get what they always wanted. Like, regardless of whether it's good or bad, doesn't matter. The fact is that it has its name on it and it's his version of the movie. That's what the fans really care about.
Well, listen, you two, circle the calendar, 2021. Some of us are looking forward to that because hopefully there'll be a vaccine for coronavirus by then, but others are also looking forward to this movie. So circle the calendar. Thanks a lot, you both.
Thanks, Pia.
Thank you so much.
That's all for today. Front Burner comes to you from CBC News and CBC Podcasts, and the show was produced this week by Imogen Burchard, Elaine Chow, Shannon Higgins, Ali Janes, and Nahayat Tizouche. Derek Vanderwijk does our sound design with help this week from Mac Cameron. Our music is by Joseph Shabison of Boombox Sound. The executive producer of Front Burner is Nick McCabe-Locos. I'm Pia Chattopadhyay. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with you on Monday.